Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, what would you ever think that a murderer, that a communist dictator would be celebrated in the population? Well, Fidel Castro, he died just recently in Cuba. He was the 1958, radical revolution that took place. Supposedly, he was going to free everyone up from the oppressor of that particular government, and ended up killing more people per capita. If the amount of people he killed based on their population was in America, it's equivalent to 680,000 Americans would have been killed if Castro would have been our leader during that time. And people, our presidents, celebrate him. As a matter of fact, Glenn Beck on The Blaze is actually talking about this right now. Let's take a look.
I cannot take what people are saying about Fidel Castro. The White House won't judge the, quote, towering figure of Fidel Castro. I guess history is going to have to judge him. Well, history has already judged him. I don't know what we're expecting to find out 100 years from now that we don't know about 1959, 1962, 1970, 1980, 1990. I'm not sure what historians are supposed to find that are going to make this man into a great man. Castro took over Cuba in 1959. His right-hand man, you might have seen on the t-shirts or hats or posters around many Democratic headquarters and around college campuses everywhere, Che. They killed an awful lot of people. They promised an end to corruption. They said they were going to uphold the values of free speech and private property. Instead, Castro imprisoned, tortured, and murdered thousands of people. In fact, he imprisoned and tortured political prisoners at a higher rate than Stalin did during his reign of great terror. We're all pretty clear on who Stalin is, aren't we? How about Hitler? Fidel Castro murdered more Cubans in his first 3 years in power than Hitler murdered Germans in his first six.
Is that per capita? Yeah, it's got to be, right?
Guevara, the main executioner, killed everyone who was in opposition, journalists, poets, homosexuals. They were sent to labor camps. Others were just executed by the firing squad. Some of them, Che executed himself. What is it that we're supposed to find out? Are we supposed to find out later that he took a country that was free, that was dynamic, and threw it into third world poverty? Is that what we're supposed to find out? Here's what historians will print 100 years from now, when we get far enough away from the people who are currently in charge of the world, when we get away from the dishonest journalists, when we get away from the dishonest media, the dishonest elite, the dishonest politicians, the professors, and the current crop of pseudo-historians, no matter how many dictators die, there is always Hollywood, the media, the politician, and the educational system that will keep the killer's viewpoint alive in the hearts of new dupes. Authoritarianism is on the rise all throughout the world. It's happening everywhere. And it's happening in all shapes and all sizes. Fascism, communism, Islamicists, they're all dictators. They all will spell death to their people. And they all have one thing in common: social justice. You listen to all of them, the fascists, the Islamists, the communists, they all will claim social justice. What they're really claiming is socialism, the philosophy of Karl Marx. That's the root of this evil. It has been around with many different names for a very long time. Some of the early settlers here in America tried to do it. It ended in cannibalism. They did it in the name of God. But Karl Marx really put a new and fresh and evil face on it. For anybody who is in school now or has graduated, anybody really under 40, you may not have learned this in school, but this is what World War II was really all about. The argument between national socialism and international socialism. The real push was either Russia or something like Germany or Mussolini. That's all it was about. And everyone in the world bought into it except for Winston Churchill. He was the only staunch anti-socialist, anti-communist in World War II, which is why now, if you go over to the United Kingdom, 75% of those under 30 have no idea who he is. But you'll find a lot of those people wearing a Che t-shirt. You'll find a lot of those people saying, wow, history will correct the wrongs of Fidel Castro. He was a great hero. Who's this Winston Churchill? You can see the slide. It's happening again. And it always happens the same way. I spent my week last week reading about the end of the gold standard and the way the central banks rebalanced everything in the 1920s and 30s.
What a coincidence.
Who didn't? I know. I will tell you, it is coming again.
Thanksgiving tradition.
These people have not learned any lessons at all. History does not repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. And it's happening again. And we will go to war again. The world will go to war. And I fear millions more will die for the false choices of Marxism, fascist Marxism, international Marxism, national Marxism, Islamic Marxism. I want you to understand they're all the same. A national socialist is just as deadly as an international communist, as a Marxist Islamist is. It's the same ideology. Each is going to teach its followers that it's this group or the other group that's stopping the world from coming together in peace, love, you know, new autobahns, fair banking, or the end of the great Satan. But it's the same ideology. And those who killed all of the artists and poets are the ones that the new poets now extol as great freedom fighters. It's sickening. Those who were tortured and gunned down by anti-capitalists have new anti-capitalists selling their murderer t-shirts, the Mao purses and the Che hats, all in the name of anti-capitalism. Castro only lost his battle with time. That's what's so despicable. This murderer ran free, raped and pillaged an entire country and people since 1959. And the world was muted. Here's a guy who brought us closer to nuclear annihilation than any other human on the planet. And the press says we're just going to have to wait and see how history judges this tall revolutionary figure. He should have received a bullet in the head. Unfortunately, God will have to pay him back for the suffering and the murder and the debauchery. Because the only battle he faced here was time. And in the time that he lost his life, the ideas that brought his murder spree to fruition, Marxism, has been taken off of life support. And because of the media and the leftist politicians, and worse yet, those in our educational system, it's been taken off of life support, and Marxism has been sent back home after seemingly making a full recovery. Why are we celebrating Castro's battle that was lost to time? The war is being lost.
Why in the world would anybody celebrate this man's life and his evil reign over this period of time? Cuba's like 90 miles off the coast of Miami. Mm-hmm. That's how far away, it's that close. This kind of devastation took place. As a matter of fact, Steve, reinforce PJ Media and what they said about, you know, Fidel Castro and how many people he killed. I mean,
Fidel Castro shed blood on a scale unimaginable in American terms. His butchers executed perhaps 15,000 prisoners, according to academic estimates cited by Wikipedia. He continues to write, British historian Hugh Thomas, in his study, Cuba or the Pursuit of Freedom, stated that perhaps 5,000 executions had taken place by 1970, while the World Handbook of Political and Social Indicator ascertained that there had been 2,113 political executions between 1958 and 1967. The professor of political...
5,000.
5,000
executions. 5,000 executions since, yes, into 1970.
Right.
This is somebody that people are celebrating. We're going to show they're wearing him. Okay. Go ahead.
He says, the professor of political science at University of Hawaii, Rumel, estimated the number of political executions at between 4,000 and 33,000.
Oh my goodness.
From 1958 to 1987, with a mid-range of 15,000. That was in a country of 7 million.
Only 7 million people.
Only 7 million.
And he's killing, I mean, what is that equal? Is it talking about per capita?
Yes.
That was like America, the population?
Yes. In per capita terms, that's the equivalent of about 680,000 executions in the United States, with our population of 318 million.
So this man that people are celebrating, mm-hmm, that our own president went down, and we'll talk about that a little bit, to open up communication with and the markets with. I mean, after 88 years, he flew the first presidential visit, flew down Air Force One. And this man killed an equivalent of the population per capita, 680,000. It would be just like that many Americans.
It's like the entire population of Denver.
We're looking at exactly what Glenn has said. Mm-hmm. You know, history repeats itself, and that, you know, for some reason, it's obviously an obvious reason. You know, one particular German, we had him on our program, and he was talking about the history of Germany and Hitler and socialism, communism, and all the isms. Mm-hmm. And he says that it's the greatest temptation to a man's sinful flesh. You know why? Because what they tell you is you'll never have to work. We'll take care of you. We'll take someone else's stuff and we'll take care of you. And it always ends with somebody being shot and pushed into a ditch, somebody being put into the ghettos, put into trains, put into cars, put into ovens. I mean, it always ends with, for the common good, we're going to need to Pol Pot. I think about Cambodia. We had talked about that with the Pink Room and
killing
how
fields,
the killing fields. And we'll make that available for you. But here's this man. He wanted to start communism in Cambodia. What is the first thing he does? He kills everybody that's educated. He kills all the people of faith. Mm-hmm. He kills all the wisdom, all the
leadership,
doctors, wisdom, government, and killed them all. And then anybody that knew anything, I guess anybody that was smarter than him, which was a lot of people, almost millions of people killed. That's why they called it the killing field. They made a movie about it in the 70s, I believe. And then he gathered the people that were there, the Cambodians, and put them in groups of 20. And this is what he said after that. He says, today, God is dead, and today is day one. And this is your new family. Terrific. Why? Because the evilness in men's hearts who sell out the darkness, who actually think they know more than God, they begin to restructure things, and they think they can have this utopia. And it's always utopia. As a matter of fact, if you read the term paper, the thesis of Hillary Clinton when she graduated with her degree, that you can read it. We have it available for you on the BFN Torch. And she's talking about, a utopia, basically. Mm-hmm. That, in China, most every piece of China is owned by the government, all the property. Mm-hmm. Which means you can have a house, a business, or whatever. And all of a sudden, they decide that they want to do something there, they'll just push it over. They'll just push it over. They'll take it. You got to find some other place. It's not yours. They tell you, you can only have one baby. If you have another baby, we're going to kill it. We're not going to cover it. They just allowed the people of China to say, you know what? We're going to let you have
a second baby.
A second baby. It always has China's, when Mao did what he did in China in his little red book and all the things going on, he killed just millions and millions of his own people. And you're seeing people embrace the same mindset, just like Glenn said, just like they're saying right here in PJ's media article, is that it always entails many, many deaths. And these people just walk blindly into the thing. It was a financial crisis going on during the days of Hitler because World War I happened. When World War I happened, they had to pay reparations. They had to pay for the war. And when they did that, they started printing a whole bunch of money so they could pay people off. It's called the Weimar Republic, which caused everybody in Germany to have no value in their money. They couldn't even buy food. And with that, all of a sudden, this man comes up on the scene named Adolf Hitler and says, listen, I can take care of you.
Just make the pain go away.
I can make the pain go away. We're going to take care of the food. Don't worry. And people get I encourage you as a Christian, begin to fast and pray. Find out that you don't have to obey your flesh because you need to at least go a good, 10 days and telling your flesh no. Because if you can't tell your flesh no for 24 hours, people like Hitler and people like other, they'll make you fearful. And it's like, you know what? Jesus went without 40 days, I'm not talking about 40 days without prayer. Check with your doctor first, we're not giving you that. But just understand that we cannot be flesh driven because that's exactly what this message goes to. But a man who comes out of the history of communism and the history of Hitler and what took place in Germany and what happened when Hitler said that, even though he had a funny mustache, and even though you look at him now and go, how could they fall for this? We know Hitler in history, but they didn't know his history of Hitler because he had yet to happen. But it all happened in 6 to 7 years. So all the evil he did in 6 to 7 years. Imagine how rapid that can happen now with the technology and drones and all this different stuff that could take place. I remember I was talking to a young man who's in the Coast Guard, and he was by his father, and his father's driving him to a place. He's in the U.S. Coast Guard. And I said, what happens if the government told you to go to your father's house and arrest him, and you knew that he didn't do it, but they told you to do it, what would you do? He said, I'd go put him in jail. And his dad gives him a ride home. I'm like, you need to catch a bus. And the mindset of people, it makes me think about, the study that they did. I forget the name of the study. Starts with the M, Magellan, but they find that the name of that. But they wanted to find out what was in people, what was in these German citizens' mind, because they were just normal people. But why would they embrace, you know, this leader who's saying, you know, take part of your population and put them in concentration camps, put them in trains and ghettos, kill them, you know? And what they found out through the study is, you know, people just follow orders. How many people do bad things and they immediately blame it on someone else? They just go, well, that's so-and-so, you know, that's what my boss told me to do. You know, that's what so-and-so told me to do. The thing about it is you're held personally accountable for your choices. I mean, you're held personally accountable for your choices. And so you got to learn how to say, you know what, I'm going to follow God. When men contradicts God, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow God. That's what the disciples said when the disciples were getting arrested for their preaching of the gospel that was contradicting the religion and the government of the day. They said, well, listen, you know, we're going to have to do what God says and just trust God with how it turns out. We're going to talk more about this when we get back from the break. But I want to encourage you. As a matter of fact, we might even have that experiment for you because it's a very interesting experiment. And they found out that when people are given orders, they just follow those orders without even thinking about it. We got to begin to think and hear God.
Milgram's obedience study.
Talking about Fidel Castro and Che Guevara, mm-hmm. you know, who were basically partners in murder,
evil
of communism, and how people embrace it. And that, remember, we can always look back on stupidity and say, well, they were stupid. But you can say, we have history to look back. The thing about it is, will we make a stupid decision for the future? Will we get fearful and step outside of our freedom? And we're giving freedoms up left and right now because of fear of this mm-hmm. and fear of that. There's a reason why this little, small, radical Islamic mindset, it's not large, and they're letting it promulgate throughout the earth because it creates fear. And when people get fearful, you either turn to God, as the president said originally, or you turn to government as God to say, and protect me. And now we have children being patted down and being scanned as they go onto a plane because we're so you know, fearful. And that's when people start giving freedoms up. And that's when you have a, you know, Fidel Castro, who our president went down. As a matter of fact, after 88 years, you're looking right now, our president went down there. And this is him when these opening up relations, you're seeing it right there. And he opened the door to this
began the talks,
and Fidel was still there, his mm-hmm. brother, who's now president, Raul, you know, these people who did these evil things is still there. And look what's behind him. Do you see that image on the building behind you? Go back to that other image, the one we just had up with the president on it. Now, so that's the president standing there, and you see that behind him, I'm gonna get you a closer look at what's behind him. Let's go to the next image right there. That is Che Guevara. Yeah. He is the one you just read about in the PJ Media article that he killed an equivalent per capita, if it was America, almost 680,000 of his population. That's how many people they killed. I mean, killed more people per capita in the first 3 years than Hitler did in all of his 6 years. Yeah. And he said, that's our president coming. And you look, I mean, our president went there and you know, this is the brother of Castro right here, Raul, that's, he is welcoming him in the palace. And so we're just, and you have to understand, they've made Americans to believe that we're the small, insignificant, you know, almost non-existent country. But the reality is we're the biggest, most powerful economy in the world, the strongest military in the world. And when you go down to a country the size of 11 million, and you show up like this with, as a matter of fact, I think Air Force One, look at Air Force One flying in. This is Air Force One flying in after 88 years. It's been 88 years since a president visited Cuba because of what had taken place. And now we're flying Air Force One into this place. And when you do that, it's given them a sense of legitimacy. And he turned over the leadership to his brother, Raul. And Raul is, they say, he's treating everybody the very same way. Just a very evil, evil, evil way. And so you think about this. We have to understand, when you hear people, Che, I mean, they're like, I believe, I'm not sure. They're beginning to name military ships in the military after these different movements. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But you're seeing people right now, I mean, you're looking at actors, for example. He was an actor in the movie Transformers. His name is Shia LaBeouf. Look at him, what he's wearing right here. Look what's on his shirt. That's Che Javero, he's the one that was partnered with killing all these folks. Why would you? Because they're embracing the lie of communism that it's going to be a good thing. It's not a good thing. Glenn did a good job of talking about it's all the same thing. I mean, you think about this other, this is not only a singer, his name is Jay-Z, but he actually is a multi-million dollar business person, and so is his wife. And they're wearing on their clothing, they're wearing, you know, Che, this murderer, on the shirt. When you see that, I mean, it's, you look at this right here. This is Jay-Z. Now, around his neck, he has capitalism, but on his shirt, he has communism. Mm. The gold around his neck comes from him being able to do business in America and make a lot of money. He makes a lot of money, a lot of money. He has a clothing line and all these different things. But the shirt he has on would not allow him to make that money to be able to purchase that gold. It's communism. And we have to understand, we cannot celebrate figures who don't. Even a singer by the name of Justin Bieber, a young person, he's going around, and you're looking right here, if you could probably see a little closer look at his shirt, that he actually has Che Guevara on his shirt. And what you're seeing is, it's just like they said when Glenn was talking, that most people don't even know history because they didn't teach it. They quit teaching history the way it is. But now that you know history, you got to let people know that, you know, you don't celebrate Hitler. It's like wearing Hitler on your shirt. Actually worse, because he killed more people per capita in 3 years. He killed more people in Cuba in 3 years than Hitler did in his whole 6 or 7 years. I mean, think about that. And who would walk around with Hitler on his shirt? We would immediately go, you know, that person's not good wearing something on their shirt. And so you're thinking, you know, what's taking place in Cuba? What's taking place in Cuba? Well, I got good news for you. There is revival is going to come. You know, the enemy always thinks he has an upper hand on God, but God is doing some awesome things, and he's been working behind the scenes in Cuba. We talked about it before, and we'll make it related to you so you can see it on the torch, but the church has been growing and advancing. But Rich Vera, this prophetic man out of Orlando, Lord gave him a word very specifically about Cuba and what would take place. Let's go there now.
What did you see about Cuba?
You know, in 2012, I was preaching in Florida and in front of a congregation, and I have it on YouTube. I prophesied that Cuba was going to open up, but God was going to bring, first of all, the Catholic and the Pope to Cuba. And then through the Catholic Church was going to have a place, a school for priests in Cuba. And then it was going to be open up for investors to come. Then Americans were going to come in to invest and doing in those kind of areas. And then God was going to infiltrate ministers of the gospel that are also business people. And then there was coming an awakening in Cuba where there was going to be one of the greatest revivals that happened in the Caribbean, to the point that Raul Castro will go back to the Catholic Church and to prayer, even though he's an atheist. So I have this on the internet, and surely a few years later, the Pope went to Cuba, and Cuba opened up, as you can tell now. But the part that hasn't happened yet is, little by little, God is beginning to infiltrate his servants that are going to come in and bring such a movement of the Holy Spirit that will not be denied, to the point that Cuba will be one of the few islands in the Caribbean that will be Christian. They'll be dominant as Christians, and churches are going to grow by the thousands, and the government will not be able to stop it, and there'll be a transition that God will blow a wind of change. But the church in Cuba was going to be a voice for the entire region, even for the state of Florida and part of the U.S. I saw evangelists coming out of Cuba, infiltrating America with the gospel, with signs, wonders, miracle, and power. And this is what's coming to Cuba.
Signs, wonders, praise miracles, God, and power.
That's exciting.
It's going to impact, be the voice of the region. Yeah. And it's like, where did this come from? Years of persecution. Years of being under difficult rule. Mm-hmm. Years of, you know, a huge part of your population being controlled and manipulated, and the church being minimalize, you would think, but actually they begin to grow. Once the distractions were away from the church, guess what happened? They begin to spend time together. I mean, there was no distractions at all.
Yeah.
And hung out in houses, and they began to love each other, pray for each other, and other people didn't have any distractions, so they went out and they heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be a powerful, powerful move of God coming out of Cuba. So though it looks like this, you know, we want to be able to say today, you know, communism, you know, whatever ism it is, even if it's Islamicism, mm-hmm. going on. It's all the same thing. You know, the one thing they have in common is social justice. They're saying that we'll bring social justice. And that's what Hitler said. That's what all of them have said that have done that. But it always ends with somehow you standing by a ditch with your hands tied behind your back with a blindfold over your eyes possibly, and you falling backwards after being murdered or hurt or destroyed. If you have any wisdom, if you actually understand that it's not right, you know, what they're doing, and that they want to be able to, like Pol Pot said in Cambodia, when the first day he did it, they want to be able to convince people that God is dead, and he's not dead, he's alive. As a matter of fact, if you have not yet seen the movie, God Is Not Dead 2, you've got to see it. It's a very, very powerful movie. You know, in October, the Lord showed me, while I was on time of prayer and sabbatical, that, you know, Donald Trump would be our next president. And he showed me very specifically, you know, I shared it with a few folks. I was advised not to share it on the air because people are so, you know, political versus, you know, this, for whatever reason, this man's going to be president. And the Lord showed me that in it, the people were going to get the White House back. He showed me your every common day, a whole bunch of Americans just packed in the White House. And we're seeing that take place today. But back in March, the Lord spoke to this very same prophet and told him that Donald Trump would be president, but also told him that he would begin to deal with corruption. And we're seeing, I mean, think about this. God is dealing with this corruption. President-elect Donald Trump doesn't have this kind of power. From what I understand, he didn't even plan a party for him winning the election because they didn't think they were going to win. Mm. God had set this whole thing up. But this particular prophet, Rich Vera, says that when he was young, when Donald Trump was young, and he went to Norman Vincent Peale's church, that he had said a prayer, and God heard that prayer. I mean, this should really make you think. You know, what are you praying? What is your future like? Mm. Let's take a look.
Tell me about Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Oh my goodness. You know, the Lord gave me a vision. I'm not political. I'm not, you know, for either party, you know, but the Spirit of the Lord told me that there was a prayer. There was something that he had as a younger man with the Lord, that the Lord marked his life and separate him. And because of that, it's caused the prosperity that he has experienced come on his life, in spite of what people believe of his belief systems. But this is a man who's going to be used of God to bring to light a lot of dirt. And for many years to come, you're going to hear him as a man who's standing in the forefront and on the media to expose the secrets of darkness in society and in government here in America.
Is that not exciting? I mean, you're looking, that was March, so it wasn't, he's not, these folks that are talking, they're coming afterwards. And the Lord told me it was in October it was going to happen. But the Lord also showed me that, you know, that we're not going to embrace him. Mm-hmm. We're going to embrace God. God that's done this.
God's in control.
We're going to be grateful for good leadership, you know, whoever is going to be in leadership. But God's the one that's God. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so often historically, the church starts running to D.C. and starts focusing on D.C. And the next thing you know, discipline comes upon us. But know this, that right before Israel was set free from slavery and captivity, where they were under great oppression, where they were working for the government with no pay, with very limited resources, living Egyptian ghettos, if you would, and having to come out and build all these different things. When you go to Egypt today and you see all these great buildings from history, think back that the Jews built a lot of those things because they were in slavery. But know this too, but right before they got free, they went through a time of great oppression. Plague started happening. You know, they started making them make bricks with no straw. So it was already bad working for the man, but now he's making it even harder. But understand that, you know, dark times are going to come, but God is going to protect us in these times the way that he protected Israel during those times. Those particular times came, the plagues came, but God's people weren't affected by that. So your confidence, your faith, and God's protecting you will be your shield. You just need to be right with God and just stay close to God and do what he says. That's what Israel did. They put blood over the doorpost, put blood over the doorposts of your heart. Begin to, you know, abide with God, be his disciple, and watch the deliverance of God. As a matter of fact, listen to what Rich Vera talks about is coming to America.
It's going to happen quickly in America.
You know, America, there is a spirit of fear that's being released on the land. Yet the Lord told me this, for you believers, Isaiah 60, the Bible says, gross darkness will cover the earth, but the glory of the Lord will rise upon you. And I believe that America is going to see some dark, dark seasons. But however, the body of Christ, you and I, God's glory is going to surround us like a bubble. And when the world suffers, you are going to see, like the children of Israel, the protection, the backing up, and the provision of God. I saw great light lifting up the body of Christ, and I saw great darkness over America. But the Lord also told me this is the season that He's raising up evangelists in the land of America, where evangelists will go through all the corners of this nation, and the days of the gospels and the days of the parks and the gospels being preached on the plazas are coming back in America, where there are going to be signs, wonders, and miracles in places that are not churches, and a mighty harvest is coming in this nation. In this
signs, wonders, and miracles in America. The Lord's been showing us this, and we've been hearing some pretty awesome words. And I want to encourage you that, you know, that we have a teaching for you. It's available to all of our partners out there. It's just log into your partner's area and be a partner, just partner for any amount whatsoever. It's called Children of the Light. And as it gets darker and as gross darkness fills the earth and thick darkness is over the people, He says your light will shine and that kings would come to your light.
That's right.
We're children of the light. Our time, we're arriving, you're arriving in your season as a believer, you know, and if you haven't yet begun to be His disciple, you said yes to Jesus, but you haven't learned about Jesus, you need to get on Emmaus Road. Go to VFN, VineFellowshipNetwork.org, click and find out about Emmaus Road, begin to abide with Him, because kings, people are going to start coming to you and asking you about who is this Jesus? Where does this light come from? The darker things get, the brighter you look. And he says, when these things happen, He says, look up. Because your redemption is near. The Lord is soon to return. The greatest harvest we've ever seen. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, for what you have done in the people of Cuba, Lord, that you've grown the church and you've taken care of them, Lord. We thank you for the freedom and revival and the move of God that's going to touch Florida and Central Florida and the region area, Father God, and it's going to come into America. We thank you that your glory is even covering those that are listening right now, Father God. We just speak encouragement to their faith. God, we just pray for an awakening to take place in the hearts of your people in America, that we would get serious with you. Because if we would get serious with you, you get serious with us, Father God. And we pray right now for the freedom to come to the people of Cuba, God. Lord, and forgive us, Lord, for propping up those evil leaders of the past, Father God. We pray for new leadership to come, God. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.